नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यास ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 39 एंटाइटल्ड अक्रूराज विजन श्लोक नंबर 32। स्त्रीनाम एवं उर्दंतीनाम उदिते सवितरी अथ अक्रूरः चोदयामास कृत मैत्र आदिकः रथम् स्त्रीनामेव उर्दन्तीनाम् उदिते सवितर्यथ अक्रूरश्चोदयामास कृत मैत्रादिको रथम् स्त्रीणामेव उर्दन्तीनाम् उदिते सवितर्यथ अक्रूरश्चोदयामास कृत मैत्रादिको रथम् स्त्रीणामेव उर्दन्तीनाम् उदिते सवितर्यथ अक्रूरश्चोदयामास कृत मैत्रादिको रथम् माताजी वट मीनिंग स्त्रीणाम् द वुमेन एवं इन धिस मैनर उदंतीनाम व्हाइल दे वेर क्राइंग उदिते राइजिंग सवितरी द सन अथ देन अक्रूर अक्रूर चोदयामास स्टार्टेड कृत हैविंग परफॉर्म्ड मैत्र आदि कह हिज मॉर्निंग वर्शिप एंड अदर रेगुलर ड्यूटीज रथम द चैरियट Translation and Prabhupada by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami and His Disciples of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. But even as the gopis cried out in this way, Akrura, having at sunrise performed his morning worship and other duties, began to drive the chariot. Prabhupada. According to some Vaishnava authorities, Akrura offended the gopis by not consoling them when he took Krishna to Mathura. And because of this offense, Akrura was later forced to leave Dwarka and be separated from Krishna during the episode of Samantak Jewel. At that time, Akrura had taken up an ignoble residence in Varanasi. Apparently, Mother Yashoda and other residents of Vrindavan were not crying like the gopis, for they sincerely believed Krishna would be coming back within a few days. Om Ajnan Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha श्री चैतन्य मनोभिष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदामयं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं वंदेहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्रीगुरोन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तां सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च नमः ओम विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नित्य नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण सो दिस वर्स इज डिस्क्राइबिंग द कंडीशंस ऑफ गोपीज एज लॉर्ड श्री कृष्ण इज लिविंग द्वारका देयर हैज बीन पेंटिंग ऑफ दिस इंसिडेंट ऑल्सो फोटो All gopis are surrounding. There is another photo where Kunti Maharani is also praying to Krishna while living Hastinapur. They are somewhat similar. Krishna is in the chariot. But here, Akrura is the driver. So basically, some of the gopis, they have got this feeling that here in the purport, it is said that Yashoda and others were not so much crying because they are believing that Krishna will come back. Krishna has promised that he will come back in one or two days. And gopis had some intuitive feeling that maybe Krishna is not going to come back. And they had that more desperation that we will not. Actually, the separation of gopis and Krishna was not. It was quite commonly happening. Every morning Krishna would go. Suddenly, sometimes in the daytime they would meet, but then again they would be separated and again they would meet. So many times the separation would happen. Sometimes it would happen for whole day also, morning till evening. But here, maybe it was a separation for 2-3 days. Even a moment separation was difficult for gopis to tolerate. We hear that how they criticize Brahmaji for making the eyelids that close and open. So this is a defect because for that fraction of a second, we are not able to. We are not able to see the form of Krishna. So this is a very high level of devotional service. To be honestly feeling like that, just for that time of closing of eyelid, which is like called less than some shun, it's just like we can't even notice it. It is said every few seconds, every one of us close their eyelids. 5 seconds or 10 seconds, something like that. And none of us, like, we don't notice our eyelids being closed, and neither we notice others, although being conscious I am looking that everyone is closing their eyelids. Otherwise we are not conscious, it just happens by default. But gopis are noticing it. Just like when we are looking at something and if somebody comes in between or some handkerchief or someone's hands come in between, we feel disturbed because we are looking intensely. So when the gopis are looking at Krishna intensely and when even eyelids come in between, actually gopis don't need to, eyelids should not disturb them in one sense because they are always thinking of Krishna within their hearts. We have heard that past time that gopis are trying, they are sitting for meditation. Once they thought, this Krishna is too much disturbing us. His thoughts, his activities, we are too much attached to Krishna, so better we meditate to decrease our attachment to Krishna. So they thought we'll sit down and try to remove Krishna from our heart. But they are unsuccessful. It's something opposite to what we do. In the morning we sit down and try to bring Krishna into our heart, but then at least myself and maybe few of us are unsuccessful. We are chanting, but the lips are moving, but within the consciousness many other things are happening. So gopis, they could not actually remove Krishna from their heart. It was impossible for them. That was their level of Krishna consciousness. So in one sense we can say, what's the matter if Krishna goes away from Vrindavan? Because it always remains. Actually that's the glory of the gopis. But on an external level, on a physical level, they wanted Krishna to be. On a spiritual level, it's the same. Like yesterday, His Grace Chaitanya Chandra Prabhu was telling, agony in the highest love of Godhead. So like they are both agony and love. So therefore, in rasa, there are all types of rasas. So gopis are having the highest love of God, but they also feel agony that Krishna is leaving them and going. And so both can exist together. So for some people, it's difficult to understand all these topics. It's easy to just say Krishna is some formless, then all these complexities won't come. Separation and agony, and it's just Krishna is the supreme Brahman. And then there is no scope of any agony or any love or any attraction or any meditation. He is everywhere. But for some people, so this is a very beginning stage of understanding Krishna as a formlessness. Those who can understand Krishna in a better way, they understand that we can be separated from Krishna, although He is within our heart always. So for gopis, they can never be separated from Krishna. And also it is said, Krishna never leaves Vrindavan and goes one step. Ekam padam api na gacchet. He doesn't go out even one step out of Vrindavan. And Krishna cannot be separated from gopis. But still here we see they are crying. Rudanti naam. Rudanti means crying. Stri naam eva rudanti naam. This rudanti naam is in grammatical language like an adjective. However, the women were crying. Women in the gopis. Or like in Bhagavad Gita it is said, Krishna was speaking while smiling. Prahasan. Smilingly Krishna spoke. So here gopis were crying as a situation. So it's little complex, or for a rational brain is difficult to understand how Krishna never leaves Vrindavan one step. How gopis can never be separated from Krishna. Even though both are truth, still gopis are crying that Krishna is going away. And Yashoda Maiya, it is said, they are believing that Krishna will come back. So these things are all. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. At the same time, Krishna went to Mathura, and at the same time, he never came back also. So all these contradictory truths can exist in spiritual world. For a mundane, we hear this question, sometimes these questions ask, like Param Pujya Narada Maharaj says that, can Krishna make a stone which he cannot lift? Or Chaitanya Chandrabhu was telling in one lecture that can Krishna know someone's future? So say Krishna knows someone's future, like Mr. X, this will happen in his life tomorrow. If Krishna knows, then the logical people will say that he cannot change it. He doesn't have to power the change because he knows once. And if he can change it, then he doesn't know what is going to happen with him tomorrow. So these are very, people who think themselves very intelligent. They are intelligence on their own level, like modern level, they are very intelligent. They have to know exactly whether Krishna knows. If he knows what is going to happen tomorrow, if he knows, then he can't change it. It will happen anyway. Because he knows it from know only. And if he can change it, that means something was going to happen. And now he can change it, so he doesn't know what will happen tomorrow. Right now. Because right now he knows something. And say at a later minute he changes it. So right now he doesn't know what will be changed. So these things, very complex people, not actually complex, they are intelligent, but they don't understand that the level of logic that applies to material world, on a material world, this is a very proper logic. On a material world, this is a very proper logic. But the same logic or the same arguments cannot be applied to the spiritual world. Here we see a classical case how Krishna is divine and can do everything contradictory. He doesn't leave Vrindavan, but still he goes to Mathura and Dwarka and so for 100 years. And from Gopi's heart, Krishna never goes away, but still they are crying. So all these things can happen. And when Uddhav comes back, actually when Krishna tells, when he was in Dwarka, he says, even if I go to Vrindavan from Dwarka, the Gopi's condition is not going to change. They will be always in their mood of separation and pure love. And even if I don't go, they are in their own same condition. It's a great faith and I don't know what word to use. Advanced devotees have that. When Krishna had gone from Vrindavan and he told that I will come back in few days. But still, he never came back for around 100 years. Still, he was on earth. Something like that. So, gopis would every day, although they were disturbed. See, this is all spiritual qualities. They were highly disturbed in spiritual way, in the love of Godhead, that they were crying and for themselves they were not properly dressing up or doing their makeups properly because they were under distress that Krishna has gone. But still, every in the morning, they would get up in the morning, churn butter, make garlands, dress themselves first properly because Krishna has promised that he will come back. And suppose, like at that time, it's better sometimes. It's better to have, longing for someone to come than always have this SMS and email that I am coming. Then we don't experience the longing of someone coming. Nowadays when someone is coming, he's always SMSing, I am at Dadar, I am at Alfiston, I am at Parel, as it is like a railway timetable. I am at that. I got down at Grand Road. No, I am at Gaudevi police station. But suppose this is not there, then here we are longing, when will my friend or father or husband, anyone will come back. I remember in my childhood days, when I was before 10th, 12th, before all these phones and telephones and mobiles came, in our village there are big village around 8,000-10,000 people and we had only 10 or 12 telephones, landlines. So if you want to make a telephone or get a call, you have to walk 1 kilometer. So practically it was not used. Once in a year or even less than that. And what to speak of mobile. So, sometimes I remember our father would go for he was on business, so he would go for a day or two or 3 days sometimes, occasionally. So he would just say that I am going and I will come back after 2-3 days. When the time was there, we had no choice but to just wait. He has told he will come on Tuesday. So morning we are waiting. He has not come for lunch. Then he has not come for dinner. So even though he doesn't come on Tuesday, we have to just wait. Then on Wednesday he has not come. then that longing was with. Otherwise, all are, where are you, what are you? They are calling. Both has advantage, I'm not saying that way. But then that emotion of intensely waiting for someone is lost. Emotion for intensely waiting for someone. And then that joy is there. We would be sitting in our windows and from a distance we would see a father get off from the bus and then he was walking. And then the joy, father has come and make the preparations and everything. So in that way, at the time of Krishna's Vrindavan, they are nothing. So gopis, they would get up early. See, even though they are highly distressed externally, in the sense of lacking Krishna's association, but they were very particular to the duties of Krishna consciousness, Krishna seva. So they are distressed and crying and could not sleep and maybe could not dress properly. But for Krishna's service, they would get up early in the morning. It is said, they never got up late. It is described in Bhagavatamrita and also Srimad Bhagavatam that every day after Krishna left, they would get up early in the morning. And before sunrise, they would churn the butter. The butter has to be churned generally before sunrise. So before sunrise, they would churn the butter. And then after that, they would go to meet Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj so that both will console each other. And gopis would console them, yes, Krishna might come. And they would come back and prepare the garlands. That if Krishna comes today, see, how many of us will have the patience? We'll say, okay, in the month of January, such and such great devotee is going to come. So are we going to get up early in the morning every day and make a garland? If he comes today and make all prasad and everything, we'll say, let him come, then we'll make everything. But gopis, they would make every in the morning, cook everything, make garlands, make everything ready. If Krishna comes today, and that day, they did for 100 years. Without failing for a single day. 100 years they did, particularly their service. Krishna apparently never came, but they never failed in their service. Similarly, we have a similar example in Ramayana also. What? Shabri. Her guru just told him, Prabhu Ram will come sometime. So you maintain the ashram for him, his welcome, and you should gather some fruits and like that when he comes. So there was no date given. Prabhu Ram will come 420 years and in month of January on the day of 12th. His guru, Matanga Muni. Matanga Muni, while going, he has said, Shabri, we are all going. You stay here because Prabhu Ram will come sometime in the future. And you have to serve him properly. Welcome him and then you will also come back to the spiritual world. So, no date was given. So it can be any day. So Shabri would get up early in the morning every day. Clean the whole ashram. Maintain the whole ashram neat and clean and apparently beautiful with all natural water trees and flowers and everything. Put the ground nicely. If Lord Ram comes today. And even what to speak of SMS and emails. Lord Ram did not have even one assistant to just send ahead that I am coming after a few minutes or few hours. Like generally we can send someone. Oh, go and tell I am coming after half hour. Prabhu Ram had not even that. Only Ram and Lakshman would walk together. So, Shabri was not expecting any news of Lord Ram's arrival before he came actually. So, every day with great expectation and dedication and devotion, she would get up, clean the whole ashram, prepare, gather fruits locally available from the forest and keep them ready. If Lord Ram comes today, certainly he came one day, but her devotion was performed equally. So when the devotion is performed like that, Lord Ram accepted that devotional service every day. That was the intensity. So even though gopis, this is the way where Lord accepts the devotional service with our eagerness. Like Krishna says, Tadham Bhaktya Uparatam. So Krishna sees this love. So love means also perseverance. When we don't have love, then we say, oh, it doesn't work. I cannot help. But love also, one quality of love is also perseverance. Just continue. So we see gopis, they did for 100 years daily devotional service. So all these contradictions can be resolved like that in spiritual life. And like whether it was a curse or benediction, one way when all the Matanga Muni and all other disciples were going back to spiritual world, Shabri asked, hey, why are you keeping me back? Just because I am a lady, or I am from a low caste, Shabar, she was from Shabar caste. Chabarkash means those who rear pigs. Those who keep pigs and rear them. So she was from that caste. I don't know whether someone told this story here, someone might have. That actually it was her day of marriage. Her marriage was going to be tomorrow. And the previous evening, she was a daughter, a princess one way. A daughter of king of the Shabar caste, the leader of Shabar caste. She was the daughter of that man. So next day was her marriage. And on the previous evening, she saw many animals, around few hundred animals lined up outside their home. So she asked, what is this? For what all these animals are there? I say, tomorrow your marriage, so these are for the big feast for your marriage, for so many guests will come and so all these things. So she was shocked. For my pleasure, so much and so many animals will be killed. So she, that night, the previous evening, night before the marriage, she just left home. And went to the forest. She left the home. And then she wanted the guidance of some spiritual authorities. So many sages, confusion or accusation or miscommunication or something like that even happened at that time. So not any sages were ready to accept her. First of all, she was a young lady, alone, from a Shabar caste. And then she had just run away from the home on the day before the marriage. So all these complexities made many sages did not accept her. But Matang Muni, somehow other by his power, he could understand that what are the circumstance. She is a great devotee and she is going to perform an important service to Lord Ram in the future. So he accepted her in his ashram and gave her some residence and shelter and everything. And because of that, other sages had some way stopped their communication with Matang Muni. That how come you do it like that? This is not proper. But Matang Muni knew. She is Lord Ram's special devotee and I had to help her to render that service in the future. So even in Treta Yuga there was some miscommunication between the sages of the forest. So this is not something new. That will happen always. In the material world, on the issue that whether to allow Shabari to stay in the ashram or not, there was great miscommunication and discussion. So some things will happen always. Material world means it will be like that. But things should go on. Krishna Vanshya should go on. So sometimes we ask, how come in a devotee circle it is happening like that, some miscommunication? No, it's a material world. Like Srila Prabhupada says, when you walk into a coal mine, you may be king or you might be wearing some, I don't know, what are the types of fashionable clothes. Whatever you may be, if you walk into the coal mine and if you walk out, there will be some black spots somewhere. You can't avoid them. I don't have the experience of coal mine, but because my house was near sea, on the seashore, I have experience of walking into salt pans. So how much care you take when you are walking into salt pans, after you come out, the salt layer is there on your whole body. If you just do anything, it is all salty everywhere. It's just a small white layer all over the body. So whatever happens, you take any care, the salt layer is formed when you walk into the salt pans and you walk out again. So something, when you are in the material world, things like that. Even we see here in this case of Akrur, who is a great devotee. In fact, a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord. But still, some things are happening and he is committing offense. He is not consoling gopis. He is giving them pain. And he will get the result in the future. In the form of getting separated from Krishna and being accused. Actually, that's what happened in the future in Dwarka. You know the story of Samantak Jewel, which I'm not going to tell completely. But that particular part where before getting killed, that money was given to Shatadhanu. And by Satrajit, before Satrajit went to the forest to hunt, he gave the money to Shatadhanu. And Shatadhanu had that money. But Krishna wanted to prove. So, when Krishna went to the forest and killed, here Akrur was afraid. So, Akrur ran away from Dwarka. And because on his maternal side, there was some relationship with the king of Kashi. He went and stayed there. He stayed there at Kashi for quite good number of months or years. Not years, months. So, in that way, there was some Akrur, although very personal family member of Krishna, he performed so many important services to Krishna in the past, present and future. He had to bear the reaction of giving pain, or in normal language, offending gopis. He gave, although everything was happening as per Krishna's desires. Krishna wanted to go to, in his pastimes, wanted to go to Mathura and kill Kamsa and then onward. So Akrura was actually a part of Krishna's plan. But still, it is said that he had to get the results of giving pain or offending the gopis. But his exclusion is accepted by pure devotee. Like something like that happens in Maharaj Parikshit's case also. When that Shungi, son of Samik Muni, Shungi cursed Maharaj Parikshit. After everything is over, Samik Muni, he begs for forgiveness from the Supreme Lord. He says, great devotees like Maharaj Parikshit, who are also great kings, should not have been cursed. And my boy, my son, Shungi, out of ignorance, cursed the king. So please forgive us. So Srila Prabhupada writes, because a great sage like Samik Muni is asking for forgiveness, and because ultimately the plan of Krishna, both together, that son might be forgiven. Shrungi might be forgiven. But it may not happen with everyone. So similarly, we have to be careful when we deal with devotees and also non-devotees. Because it is also stated that when we offend someone right now, and in the future if he becomes an advanced devotee or a pure devotee, that is considered like a pure devotee offense. So we have to be very careful. When we are dealing with the people in the material world, we have to be thoroughly careful. It's difficult, but that is the reality. That is what the scripture says. I know it's difficult to behave on such a high level, but then we have to be willing to bear the reactions also on one sense. So, and also the perception. Yesterday we were discussing yesterday among some devotees, that some, in that case of where Rupa Goswami was meditating and he was seeing Radha Krishna's Leela. And he was smiling, seeing Radha Krishna's Leela. And another sage was walking by who had some deformations in the body. And that sage thought that Rupa Goswami, although such an advanced devotee, is smiling or laughing at my physical deformations. And he did not like that. And he just kept silent and walked away. So, although Rupa Goswami was not in any way criticizing or belittling or even joking at that sage, but that devotee felt that way. And therefore, Rupa Goswami also got some reaction in some form. Suddenly, it was corrected later on the guidance that you hold a feast and invite everyone. So, one who doesn't come, you understand that you have offended him some way. Like that. So, the things were corrected later on. The point is, even though, what to speak of non-devotee, even though it may appear, so that's very, means we have to be extremely careful. And hearing, considering all this way, when we are discussing yesterday, day before yesterday, about this, talking about others. In that way, there is a great way where we offend people. And sometimes we talk behind and we think that person will not know. But some other in this material world, the news spreads. Some other, and then Param Pujya Maharaj was saying in one day, in one lecture. Then other also many talks. He spoke like that about me. Or he spoke like this to you. And then we also enter that same disease. One who is speaking is deceased. And one who is researching what everyone spoke about me is also like what he spoke to you about me. And what he spoke to you about me. And what did he react about me. So, same thing. We are also equally worried what people are speaking about me. So both will get complicated. So basically, we see something similar happening in Shripad Madhavendrapuri's life. He had two disciples, Ramchandrapuri and Ishwarpuri. So we know both of their stories. Madhavendrapuri at the final stages of his life, he was crying in separation. Actually, Madhavendrapuri is the beginning of bhakti in Madhurya Ras and like that. Before that, it was only awe and reverence. Although he is in parampara of Brahma Madhva Gaudiya, Brahma Madhva Parampara, Even in Madhvacharya Sampradaya, there is not a much, it's a bona fide Sampradaya. There is Shantaras, Dasyaras, but there is not much of Sakhyaras, Vatsalyaras and Madhuriras. There is some little bit mentioned here and there, but not much. And especially about Madhuriras, it's not there. So Madhvendra Puri, Shripad Madhvendra Puri was the, like the fountainhead. Or the, from the seed, from where this bhakti in Madhuriras began in Gaudiya Sampradaya. And later on, that seed is fructified into a tree in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So therefore, actually, many times the small incidences happen. Like, apparently, Srila Prabhupada boarding Jaladuta was a very small incident. Many people board many ships. So many people board so many ships every day. But Srila Prabhupada also boarded one ship. But then was just like that on the moon it is said, one small step for a human and one giant step for mankind or something like that. Prabhupada just boarded the ship by a few steps going on that plank. And no one even noticed. In fact, they said only one person came to see him off. And only one small, odd, very small newspaper gave a very small news of Calcutta. That such and such Swami is going to New York for preaching. Some small news was given in not even the main paper. It was just on the smallest newspaper of Calcutta, one small news was given. But then the results of one small actions like this, we can imagine today. If we see, all of us are sitting and hundreds of people are sitting all over the world, hearing Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavad Gita, chanting holy names, following regular principles. If you find out, then all that has the root with Srila Prabhupada boarding Jaladuta. One step, and because of one step, there was so much effects in the future. Like we can say one sentence of Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur. Try to preach in English speaking world. So sometimes some small incidences we don't understand. The small incidences have such a big effect later on. And some things can happen in a negative sense also. One small word, or in Rupa Goswami's life, one smile while he was smiling while seeing Radha Krishna's pastimes. You should understand, he was not just smiling. Rupa Goswami was smiling while seeing Radha Krishna's pastime. But still, because of the, as His Grace Govind Prabhu says, perception is the reality. So, but because of the perception that he is smiling at me, the reaction was there to some degree. So, in that way, there can be various levels of offenses. Jiva Goswami experience. I think he says of three levels. One level are not, the offenses which are not very serious. I remember two now, let's see. Offenses which are not serious. For that, we don't get a reaction in any visible sense, in the sense of going away from devotional service or not able to follow regular principles, something like that. But our spiritual progress is becoming very slow or almost nil. Means it's just like that Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur story. The people are rowing, 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 but the boat is not moving. So our bhakti becomes like that. We are for small offenses, we work so hard for advancing in spiritual life. But because of these small offenses, we remain in spiritual life, but progress doesn't happen. We just work hard like rowing, and because of the anchors, the boat is not moving. So, if small offenses, some off and passing, something like that, have a small reaction in this way. Then, second level of offense, which is little bigger, it has a reaction in the form of a temporary fall down of some way, or not able to follow the regular principles in a vows and regulations, both. Like, one is breaking intoxication, gambling is one way of fall down. One way of fall down is not able to chant our prescribed quota. That is also another way. Both ways. If we are not able to follow positive regular principles, ABCDs, or if you are not able to follow the four regular principles, both inability is a reaction, but a person continues. So that is a major slow down in his spiritual life. Major slowdown. A second level of offenses. And Jiva Goswami says a third level of offense, which are like planned or something like that. Intentionally done. Highly intentionally done. Criticism or blasphemy or planned or contemplated. Maybe the devotee has to leave devotional service. Although a person never goes away from devotional service permanently. He has to some other come back. May not be this life, next life, or even after 10 lives. But still, his progress is halted for that many years or lives. We see one case in Srila Prabhupada's times. I may not know the names of devotees exactly. But it happened that one sannyasi in Prabhupada's time, he had some issues. He could not control or practice spiritual life properly. And he had some issues, so he left. But there was another devotee, I don't know if he was sannyasi or anyone else, but he was a devotee, what an ashram. He took that opportunity and maybe he might have done to tell or warn, maybe, but that mood was he unnecessarily popularized. That was this has happened with this devotee, this sannyasi is known. So in that way he was just speaking more and more, all that was a fact. And it was accepted. Even that person accepted that I am doing this mistake. But another devotee was just telling it to everyone. Unnecessarily. Oh, like that happened. You know, with this devotee, like that happened. And then, after a few months or years, that devotee also had to live spiritual life. And Prabhupada said that because he was unnecessarily talking of a fall down of another devotee, he also got a reaction in his own life. So in a similar way, we have to be very careful. When we deal or practice sadhana bhakti. So here we see even Akrura and persons like that, they get a reaction. So Jiva Goswami has explained, maybe many times we might be feeling why at least we are practicing spiritual life but not exactly moving ahead in a proper proportion to what type of sadhana people are performing. We are not going away from devotional service, but so that may be the cause that unintentionally perform offenses can be the cause of that, and there can be many other causes also, but one of them. So we should be very careful when we stay in devotee association. If we think because of that I will go away from devotee association, that is another type of maya. If we stay with devotees I will commit offenses, so I will go away, then what you will do? You will do nothing. So better to stay with devotees but stay in a proper attitude and consciousness. Hare Krishna. So I'll end if anyone has any comments or something like that. Additions, corrections. We can take one. Jagannath Prabhu, any comments? Gaur Gopal Prabhu is sitting behind.
We just, I mean, not exactly to the class, but we hear this that when Narad Muni came to Kamsa and he told him that, you know, he is Krishna, so that's how he sends Akrura to fetch Krishna and Balaram. But before that also there are so many demons going to Vrindavan, and I think it's inspired by Kamsa only. So what is the logic? Didn't he knew before that these are Krishna Balaram going to kill me, or only after when Narad Muni revealed then he said arrest Vasudev and Devaki? So is it like before that
until he... I can just say from my understanding and like that, up till now it was like almost, it was not 100% certified. It was like concluded logically. Why is Krishna going to kill me? Because he is so powerful. He killed Putana. But it was not like established that this is the person born to Vasudeva and Devaki. Eighth son. It was not established that eighth son is Krishna. It was logically and all the proofs were circumstantial proofs. But Narad Muni came and he gave a convincing proof that this is the eighth son who is going to kill, and Vasudeva cheated you. He did not fulfill his promise of handing over the son to you. Instead he took him to Vrindavan. Like the, all the conclusions were given by Narad Muni. Before that it was circumstantially understood that he might be the eighth son. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.